Good morning, church. Good morning. Awesome to be here in the house of the Lord and on so many new faces out here. We're glad you came. Let's appreciate the worship team this morning. Worship team, thank you. Quickly make your way down, guys. Come on. Too loud, he said, Pastor Sam. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look young this morning. Hey, why are some of you laughing? When I say young, come on, say you look young. Pastor Rajan look extra young, huh? Hey, Noah. That's the glory. Amen. This morning, I don't want to take too much of a time, but I was praying and asking the Lord, what is the word that you want to speak this morning? And I really felt the Lord, just laid this in my heart, this word. I want you to catch this word. God wants every one of us to live an undistracted life. Okay, living an undistracted life. We live in a world that's craving for your attention. The world is craving for your attention. The world is craving for your desire. The world is craving for your mind. The world is craving, everything about the world is such a distraction. If you're not careful, if you're not careful, what happens is you can be a Christian that's distracted in the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. See, Jesus is a perfect theology. Amen. Jesus is a great example, and I want us to look at the life of Jesus, because I believe where God is taking us, church, the seasons that we are about to enter in, the great harvest, the great expansion, everything that God has for us. How many of you know that in order for her to enter the promised land, there must be some kind of consecration. Remember, the Lord looked at Joshua and said, Joshua, today you consecrate yourself. Why? God is not focusing on today. God's heart is for tomorrow. God is saying, today you do this thing because I already see your tomorrow. Tomorrow something is coming. But in order for tomorrow to come, you need to consecrate yourself today. Amen. Many of us, when we live in the past, we miss out what God has for us in the future. All right, God's mind, how many of you know, I don't know if I preach on God's mind here on Sunday. I think 2 weeks ago, listen to the sermon, I preach on God's mind, being in the counsel of God. I preach on the favor of the Lord. God's heart for us, God's heart is for us, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, good, hopeful. When God thinks about us, where God's thoughts for you, listen carefully, God's thoughts for you is always good. It doesn't matter how your experience has been. Doesn't matter how your neighbor have experienced. Doesn't matter what other guys have preached. But God's thoughts for you is good, and enemy's thoughts for you is bad. Amen. All of the foundation of doctrine actually lay on these two foundations. God is good and devil is bad. Amen. So when we talk about living in undistracted, look at Jesus, right? Jesus is a perfect model for every believer. Sometimes we look at life of Jesus and say, hey, that's Jesus, that's not me. Actually, that's actually a deception of the enemy. Everything the Father did for us, sent His Son for us, so that when we believe in the Son of God, Holy Spirit was given to us, not only that we are waiting to go to heaven, but we are being changed in the likeness of His Son. Amen. We are being, every day we are being transformed, in the likeness, the likeness of Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, be transformed in the likeness of Christ. That's what Romans 12 says, if you guys put out the scripture, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Do not change. Do not look like the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transform. Everybody say transform. You see, transformation is a key word for believers. Every transformation is seasonal. Transformation has to do, if you look at a butterfly, right? The butterfly goes through the process in life to become a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. I happen to be in Singapore in a zoo, and they have this thing. All the butterfly just, it looks so beautiful. But before that, there was a process the butterfly has to go through before it becomes beautiful. Likewise, for us to be, the likeness of Jesus, for us to, become more and more like Jesus, the transformation that happens in your heart is key, church. If you're not careful that you're in a part of transformation, you will become like John the Baptist. I'll tell you what later. Okay, but the transformation in us is key. And the Bible says, keep those words there, guys. Come on. transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you want a perfect will of God? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The rest of you, please, let's pray for salvation. The perfect will of God is revealed to us in the transformation of our hearts. When we begin to embrace the lifestyle of the Holy Spirit, the lifestyle of a discipleship, lifestyle of a prayer, lifestyle of a word of God, lifestyle of generosity, lifestyle of supernatural, mission-minded. When you begin to embrace the lifestyle of God, lifestyle of the Spirit, what happens is your transformation becomes so evident. And what I love about the life of Jesus is, if Jesus, you know, Jesus was tempted like you and I, Jesus was, you know, he was so humane. He was like, he felt weak. Can you imagine Jesus asking John, you know, and you know, Peter, can you guys pray for me, with me? Pray with me, guys. I'm feeling weak. Why? Jesus was completely man, yet without sin, dependent on the Holy Spirit, and he molded us a lifestyle that we're supposed to live here. Amen. Amen. You guys here? So Jesus is our model of life, you know. Jesus is our, it's like a revelation of the revelation. Jesus is our model. You know, if you keep looking at your sin, keep looking at what's not working with your life, you will look like the one that you're looking at. You keep looking, you know, you keep looking at sin, keep looking at what's wrong, that's what you become. But here's the thing about Jesus, right? At the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:16 and 17, it was a very core verse of my life. He said, he baptized, Jesus got baptized in the water, you know, he got up, a voice came and said, this is my son. This is Jesus' Bible school time. You know, Jesus, before he ministered, he said, this is my son. So Jesus lived from that place of, you know, John chapter 4 says, I always see what my father's, I always hear what my father is saying. I always do what my father is doing. So Jesus modeled us a life so undistracted. You know, he lived till 3 years, you know. Imagine the stress he can feel. If I tell you, some of you, you better not say this. If I have a 3 years period of time to fulfill my call, I tell you, every moment counts. You know, every moment, like, God, how do I do this? How do I do this? You know why? The pressure of life kicks in. The pressure of vision kicks in. The voice of God. All of this, Jesus carried for 3 years, but he was a man so undistracted with the union of Father and the mission that God gave him. Amen. Amen. If Jesus was distracted, right? Imagine if he was distracted, he wouldn't fulfill his life. You know, even though you feel tempted and everything, he's the model church. He's the model for the church and for believers. Moses is amazing. Elijah is amazing. But Jesus is the one who died on the cross for us. Jesus is our model. You know, Jesus is, you know, you cannot take Jesus out. Somebody was saying, what's after Jesus, you know? I said, there's nothing after Jesus. Jesus, the end and the beginning and the end. Nothing after that. Like, you cannot have anything else. He is church. He is. So here Jesus is, you know, so uncompromised with his devotion to the Father. You know, he was so aware of what Father was doing and what Father was saying. When the Holy Spirit came on him, he was aware of the dove. How many of you know the Bible says, right? The dove came. Okay, give me a tissue, please. It's okay, I'll do it. Too late. Somebody used the tissue and kept it here. Whose lipstick is this? So the Father said, you know, the Bible says, the dove came. I want you to understand this picture, because this revelation will leave you, will help you to live not attracted to sin, but attracted to righteousness of God. See, when the Father said, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit came and rested on Jesus and remained on him. He never was lifted. This is the quest. This is the transformation we need. This is the yieldedness we need. This is a prayer life right here. Being aware of the one who called you. Prayer is not words, guys. Just not words. Prayer is not by you just speaking in tongues. It's all the way and method of it. But the greatest thing is the awareness of his presence. God, please call us on the phone, God. No, the awareness of the Father. So Jesus lived an undistracted life for us, in order to fulfill the destiny of our life and the church and everything where God is taking us. We cannot be distracted with everything that's around us. And some of the, let's talk about destruction. What, destruction is such a thing, you know. In the book of Revelation, you know, go back and read 3 and 4. There's one church, go, you know, God will say, well, you did all this thing, but you have a throne of Satan. I'm like, you have a throne of Satan? It's a compromised church. You know what destruction is? Destruction is like good, but God didn't allow it. It can be good. Destruction is such a thing, like, you know, it's like, you know, like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they went and hide, and they put, you know, instead of, you know, waiting for God to clothe them, they put with the fig tree. And then the fig tree, and the God comes, hey, where are you guys? And Adam and say, we are naked. God says, who told you are naked? It's something that God didn't tell you. Destruction is a compromise. Compromise is calling the good bad and calling the bad good. Compromise can be in our thoughts, in our action, in our lips. When you lie and you say that I didn't lie, that's a compromise. So Revelation, Jesus go like, you cannot have the throne room of the devil. It's a compromise life. Like, nah, you know, Jesus understand my, you know, understand me. Yeah, Jesus understand you, but also there's something about being consecrated for the Lord. Holy living, amen. Amen. Those who are sleeping say amen. Yeah. Agasiva. Amen. Wake up. So Jesus lives such a undistracted life. And I want to tell you that this is what Jesus said, which let it be the anthem of our, you know, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your what? Mind, soul. So that's what we are called to do. That's why we are called to live an undistracted life. You know, that, you know, what enemy will love to do is to distract you from what God has called you to do. To distract you, to put on, put on, do the things that, you know, do the things you're not supposed to do. You know, one example, right? One actually funny example in the Bible, right? Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 54. And everything in this story looked very scriptural. Everything in this story looks very holy, but it was not in God's heart. Okay, let's look at this, guys. Put on. It said, it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messenger before his face. And they went as they entered the village of the Samaritan to prepare for him. And they did not receive. Come on, church, say. Okay, church, let's do this together. Come on, there's power reading the word. But they. All right, so this guy's like, no, we don't want Jesus to come. Look at the next verse. You know, here's Son of God saying, I want to come. Here's the King of Kings who carries the anointing of heaven in the fullness of it, say, I want to come. And this guy say, cannot. And then here's what happened to the disciple. Disciple who walked with God. You know, see, their response is this. You know, when his disciple came to John and saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah? It's from the word. It's actually that, you know, it could happen. But do you know, God's heart can be very different. At that point, God was not casting out fire. What he was doing, let's look at the next verse. He turned and rebuked them and said to them, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. Come on, turn. Guys, come on. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man, but to what? To save them. So Jesus, even his disciple, are, you know, saying something that not out of alignment, and Jesus is bringing alignment to the heart of disciple. We are called to live from heavenly perspective, church. Heavenly perspective. You know, that's what Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, for you have been given what? A mind of Christ. Everybody say mind of Christ. You know, for us to think that we are God is actually a blasphemy. It's a blasphemy, like it's screwed up theology. But for us to not to think that we are mind of Christ, actually we are not walking in the call of God. For us to think not to have the mind of Christ, actually we are reducing what heaven says about God. We're reducing what God already paid for us. Does that make sense? You have a 10 million ringgit, but actually you don't know you have it. What happens, church? You walk in the unfulfilled destiny. Why? You don't know what has been given to you in the kingdom of God. Likewise, you and I have been given a mind of Christ. So powerful that you need to be aware of a mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is the wisdom of God. You see, no man will sin in the born-again spirit. You don't sin because you are possessed by devil. You are just, you know, attracted by the wrong thing. All we need is the spirit of wisdom to come on us. You know, I remember I was looking at a young man, and I said, "Young man, check on this guy in your business." I just randomly said, "Check on this guy." And 3 years later, he said, "True enough, Pastor, you told me to check, but I trusted him. He swindled about 1 million ringgit from my business." I told you three times, you didn't listen to me, I said. He said, "Too late now, we prayed for him, but God is restoring his business." Why? A wisdom of the Lord came. It's not man to man. It's God comes in a spirit of wisdom. What we need to, you know, we need to know is that the mind of God is the wisdom of God. God rules in his wisdom, you know. I mean, many of us don't know the will of God. Just pray, "God, Lord, spirit of wisdom, come. Spirit of wisdom, just inherit the spirit of wisdom." So I wanna give you a few points on living, you know, living undistracted. Is that okay? All right, living undistracted. A couple of things you need to know this morning is, you know, in order for you not to be distracted, you need to have a renewed mind. Everybody say renewed mind. All right, Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but, you know what, but renewed, you know, by renewing of the mind, that you may prove, that you might walk in the will of the Father, you might walk in the power of the Holy Spirit." It is not the Holy Spirit is not moving, it's because your mind is blocking, your mind is in control. Because of that, you cannot see the flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is not God is doing anything. Renewed mind is so important to you. What is a renewed mind? A renewed mind is a mind of repentance. A mind that, you know, that turns away from the thing that God is not saying. Anything the Father didn't allow for in your life, saying over you, said over you, prophesy or never say, whatever the Father is not saying over you. Church, don't believe the lies of the enemy. Who said your miracle is not never going to happen? Who said your finance is not going to get breakthrough? Who said we are not going to have the largest church, you know, by God's grace, you know, great harvest in this city? Who said? God didn't say it. Our experience might say it. Let me tell you something. Don't reduce the word of God according to your experience. The word of God is ultimate. He said a great harvest. Therefore, we are expecting God for a great harvest. Amen. He said you are blessed. The Bible says, you know, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, you are blessed. You are spiritually, you are blessed. If you are blessed, no man can curse you, church. Amen. If you are, you know, if you are set apart, you are holy, no matter what your experience be, no matter how you struggle with your transformation, God looks at you as a holy person. Amen. That's why in God's mind, you know, in God's mind, there's no gossip. In God's mind, there is no negativity. Like, God doesn't think bad. Let's see, daddy, girl. No lying. I was senior pastor saying, no lying. You know why you lie? Because you have fear in your heart. Every sin is motivated by fear. Love will not fall into sin. Love will not. You will be quick to repent and say, I shouldn't have done it. I said, God. Sin is, I don't think so. So much, sometimes we blame the devil for everything. You know, Pastor, the devil made me sin. No. He's defeated. He can play games with you. I'm not demeaning, you know, he can do some crazy things. I'm just saying, don't you think the Christ in you is greater than anything else? You don't sin because sometimes we don't sin. We sin not because we want to sin. We sin because we are afraid of something. We don't pray not because we don't want to pray. We don't pray because we are afraid of something. Amen. Amen. It's a fear. No, sin is a fear thing. Renewed mind is so important, church. You know what is renewed mind? It's like thinking the thoughts of God. This is my extreme. I took my mind to the extreme of, Lord, only what you think, God. Only what you think. Let it be on my mind, Lord. I don't care what my experience of man, but God, Jesus lived from the awareness of the Father. That's what I'm going to live from. Everybody say, mind of God. All you need is a thought of God, mind of God. What God is saying for you and around, what God is saying over you is powerful, church. Amen. It God sends his words and call you out into this destiny. Your destiny. God doesn't wait for you. God just say, like, it is done. I speak over you and it is done. Amen. And we are a word-believing church. We are a revelation church. We know the power of the word of God. We don't have to preach on the word of God. But you know why? We walk in ever-increasing revelation of the word of the Lord. Amen. And if you don't have desire to read the word, you know, don't beat yourself and just turn your heart towards the Lord. Say, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me to fall in love with the word. Help me to fall in love with the word, God. No, some of you need to sleep with the word for you to fall in love with the word of God. Just hug your Bible and sleep. You know, if you're single, you can do that. Hug your Bible and say, Lord, you are my love. Just hug your Bible and say, why? You know, the word of God reveals the thoughts of heaven. Really, the word of God. Some of you are looking for a business. And I tell you something. Some of these guys that, you know, I kind of know them. You know, one person that I know, he flies in a private jet. Honestly, he flies all this stuff. And I was wonder how same God, same evangelist, same ministry, how these guys are tapping into something that, you know, is so powerful. And then I realized they have the spirit of revelation for him to tap into certain breakthrough. Amen. Come on, tell yourself, I need a spirit of revelation. Come on, pray this prayer. Lord, increase the spirit of revelation. They tap into the wealth of God. And to do ministry, you know, big dimension. The whole aspect of renewed mind is like thinking like God. This is how you should train yourself, church. Is that if it is not in God, it shouldn't in me. It shouldn't be in me. Does God have bad opinion about Pastor Derek? Some of you said yes. You need to be delivered sometime. Does God have bad opinion about Uncle Chris? Yes, that's a testing of your faith. God, does God have a bad perception about your daughter?
No.
God doesn't have. If it's not in God, it shouldn't be in us. If you don't practice this, what happens is we will live in compromised thoughts. Compromise, you know. Sometimes compromise is not just you thinking about sexual thing. Compromise is like what God is not thinking. Really, what God is not thinking. Many of us are stuck with what God said before. But I tell you what, something, you know, if you want to move in the new season God has for you, we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fresh touch. Come on, say fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Living undistracted life is the key for this season, because everything the enemy wants to do is distract us. You know, I want to share you one more. I don't think so. Anyone would have preached this, but what did I say? Matthew 11, right? Undistracted life, living from a life of repentance. God, if it's not in your mind, it's not going to be in me. Lord, you're not offended, I'm not going to be offended. God, you know, you can feel offense, but what you do with that is important. You can feel tempted. You can feel all this thing. You can see all this coming. But you are powerful enough to live a life that is devoted to the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, church. It doesn't matter what the life throws at us. It's about what you think. What do you do? Every man has to take ownership of his heart, his motive, and his mind. I cannot blame Pastor Derek for my emotions. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligently. Out of it comes issues of life. Amen. It's the Spirit of God that disciples your heart. It's the Spirit of God that you need to be aware of. Matthew 11, guys, come on. Here's the thing, right? You know, living in a life of repentance, one of the things that can distract you from walking what God has for you is the question I want to ask you today. Is that 11? Go to the next one. So when John heard in prison about the works of Christ, you know, in the prison, listen carefully. Is your heart offended with God? Is your heart offended? Are you offended with the Lord? Sin issue is not, it's offense issue as well. It's offense. Let me prove to you this principle, right? When John have heard in the prison about the works of Christ, here John, listen carefully. John is in the prison right now. Before this, look at me, church. Don't sleep. Look at me. Before this year, Old Testament and New Testament is silence. Theologian says, I don't know. Theologians say God didn't speak. I doubt God doesn't speak because he's always speaking. And I know in the New Testament comes, you know what? John the Baptist got the revelation. He said, I know, behold, the Lamb of God. He broke the silence and said, brought revival. And people were repenting. And people were, you know, God used him powerfully. He's the man to carry the repentance, you know. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. And few chapters later, look at chapter 11. Everything about him has taken a different route. But now look at the verse here. And John heard in the prison about the works of Christ. And he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, Are you the coming one or do we look for another one? And what did Jesus answer in the scripture? Says, go down, guys. Jesus said, go and tell them, go and see. Go and tell the John the things which you have heard and see. Next verse. The blind is the blind see. The lame walk. Come on, read with me. The leper are. And the deaf. Come on, church, read. To teach them. Blessed is the one who's not what? Because of me. What happened to John? Because John was free. He was free. You know, he was free, right? He had all the free. But now he's in the prison. What John was expecting is for God to do things in his way. What was John expecting is for God to deliver him from the prison as a king of kings, king of Israel. But Jesus didn't come in the natural. That's why certain things, spirit things are always spirit. It cannot be natural, you know. You see, you know, naturally expecting Jesus to deliver him from the prison. And when that didn't happen, he's distracted. Come on, all the John repents. You know, what happens to John right now? He's questioning God. He's questioning the very message and the call and the purpose of God. Why? He's offended with what he was thinking was going to happen. See, the word transformation, right, is change. How many of you know kingdom of God is a changing kingdom? It's not the principle of it. We are always advancing. You know, let our heart change before the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us renew our heart. Say, Lord, it's not about what I think. It's about what you think, God. That is undistracted life. Offense, you know, here's the thing. You know, offense with the King of Kings, like, where are we going to go with that? You're going to live a life that's unfulfilled. Not you, okay? I'm not prophesying over you. You know, we might, maybe, if you don't have it, it's okay. We live an unfulfilled life. And we go like, we came and went and came again. Here, God is moving powerfully. Blind are seeing. Lepers is hearing. And the other side, because we are offended, we miss the move of God, church. We miss the move of God. Why? Now we are in the prison of our thinking. We are prison of our experience. Prison of my preaching. Prison of everything that I did before. You know, subtly, actually, I'm really offended with my life and what's going on. Here, Jesus is moving. And we look at the move of God and say, is this a real one? Or is there something else is coming? Amen. God is moving powerfully on the earth. Calvary City Church, we need to get into the momentum of the Holy Spirit. Calvary City Church, come on. Calvary Community Church. What am I saying? Correct me, lah. Calvary Community Church. Same church. We need to get in the movement of the living a repentant life. Repentant life is not, Jesus, forgive me. I'll confess my sin. Okay, the blood of Jesus. That is, but real word of repentance, right? Change the way you walk. You are going this side, but you're going on this way right now. If you never pick up the Bible, it's time for you to pick up the Bible and read. If you never come for prayer meeting, it's time for you to come for prayer meeting. You know, it's that thing that God, I live for you. You know, the danger of another distracted, you know, element of his offense. Another thing is even for love for the things God is not loving. Loving things God is not loving. I deactivated my Netflix. You hear me? I have Amazon Prime. But here's the thing, like, I'm like, I don't want to sound like don't watch Netflix, you know, be so religious. But I'm... Deactivate, okay. All of us deactivate, activate also. You know, and here's the thing. It's where, you know, God, you know, we cannot afford to set our hearts on the thing God is not setting. You know, if God is not doing that thing, church, don't do it in your life. If God is not you selling something, don't sell it. If God is not in that thing, he's not buying something for you, don't buy it and get, you know, into three atomy, three times payment. Why are you guys laughing? You know, God is God of wonders, church. If it's for you, it's going to be for you. Amen. Amen. Love the things that God loves. That's how you live undistracted. What does God loves? Love the thing God loves. Are you loving the God things that God loves? Are you listening to the thing that God loves? What do you listen to early in the morning? So powerful. I'm in a habit of, you know, meditating on the natures of God. Morning, I meditate on the nature, God of wonders. I am the God who heals. I am the miracle worker. You know what I'm doing? I'm actually loving him and all about him. And I live an undistracted life. And nighttime too, how you go to sleep is how you're going to wake up actually, because your emotions, like your heart, you know, make sure that you're saturated in the love and the presence of God. Don't even do warfare. Don't, just relax. Just go and worship the Lord. Nightmare later. You keep fighting the devil. Why? Why you keep fighting when God, if God is not fighting? How if God is not fighting the battle that you are fighting? How if all you have to do is be aware of the presence of God? At the same time, I'm not saying sit and do nothing. I'm saying when the battle comes, He will fight for you. Amen. There's a grace for you. You know, God is not in a hurry. God is not struggling. God is not waiting, you know, for the things to move. God is not. He's a gentleman. He's gentle and He's lowly and humble in His heart. Amen. Amen. It's a renewed life that we need to live. Primary tool which God revealed Himself is the renewal of your mind. Do a mind check. What am I thinking? What am I seeing? Am I comparing? What, Lord, please help with my mind. You know, what you do is you evaluate your mind. Why? The Bible, but Jesus said that the key is, you know, for us to think like heaven. Many of us are waiting to go to heaven. You know, you will go. But I'm saying heaven is also the presence of God. Think like the presence of God. What the presence of God will do. Well, you know, this is something that you yielded to the Lord. Somebody say yielded heart. Yielded heart is a life that's, you know, is undistracted to the Lord. When you see what He sees, when you do what God is doing, like, faith becomes easy. Faith becomes easy. You're quick, very easy for you to, you know, for you to obey the Lord. I was flying, you know, to Sri Lanka, and I'm here, you know, I'm about to get to sleep. Pastor Chandra on the other side sleeping, and two other guys here. I'm about to sleep. Suddenly I had this holy disruption of the Lord. You know, it's like the Lord started speaking. You know, and I went to the God says, go in front and talk to this air steward. I said, hey, listen, this is what I said. I know this sounds crazy, but Jesus said, don't take your life. And then she quickly put down a sleeve. And she, you know, prior to that, she have cut a wrist, and you know, I don't think she died because she's there, you know, cut a wrist. And I said, Jesus is saying that you're not even supposed to be here. She started crying. She said, I had a marriage failure two years ago. I studied to be a nurse. I don't know why I end up here. I said, Jesus is calling you. For 10 minutes, she was just weeping. All the makeup is drooling, and the other guys coming in, they're all just like watching what's happening. There and there, she accepted the Lord. She accepted the Lord. I said, you know, get connected. Go tell your Christian friend what the Lord did for you. She lives in KL. Why? I was disrupted by God's anointing when I live an undistracted heart. When I have an undistracted life, you get disrupted by God. Many of us don't see the living flow of the Holy Spirit. You know why? We are distracted. Watch a movie. It's better. Don't go there. It's okay. You watch a movie. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the affection of your heart. You know, faith becomes so easy, church. Uncle Chris, faith becomes easy when you're undistracted devotion to the Lord. You know, when you have, how do you know when you have an undistracted life? When, you know, when impossible looks possible for you. When you see like there's something wrong, you have a mind of God. You start thinking like God. Suddenly you see solution. Suddenly you see hope. You know, here's what I want to throw in. I think God is inviting us as a church to be a miracle thinking church. A church that always have a miraculous mindset. Jesus had it. Jesus had a miraculous mindset. You know, they say, cannot multiply food. Jesus said, I can, because that's what the Father is doing. Amen. Amen. When we come to even the ministry, when we come to the end, all we have to ask, what is God is saying here? What God is doing? Even your life, what God is saying? You know, this is not working, Pastor. Maybe that's not what God is doing at the moment. Amen. A miracle working is thinking, you know, hope thinking. How many of you know, you know, hope is such an expectation that God has something good for us. Hope. Are you hopeful, church? Come on. Are you hopeful? You know, we need to be a hopeful person. Number, you know, grace thinking. You know, what is grace thinking? Undeserved mercy, undeserved forgiveness, undeserved giving, graceful mindset. Amen. Because of your experience, don't reduce the spirit of grace that can fall on you. The spirit of grace. Everybody say spirit of grace. Hope thinking. I already talked about it. You know, Jesus is our example, and Jesus transformed the world, and not the world that viewed God. The world viewed God so differently. He transformed the people around him by showing him what the Father like. I want to let you know, every believer, every Christian here, listen, church, we are called to change the view of God of the world. When they look at us, they go like, Jesus is real. Amen. Jesus is real. Jesus is real, word of knowledge, that's why how do you live a life of undistracted? You must be influenced by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with this Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk, when you drink, you get influenced, wine means you are getting influenced under the wine. The question that I want to ask you this morning, are you influenced by the Spirit of God? Amen. Have you seen drunken people? They don't care. They are influenced by something. You need to live a life. I don't care what's happening. I don't care. It's not about what's happening. You'll be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Be influenced. When you're influenced by the Holy Spirit, you will be an influencer for God. Everywhere you go, the favor of God kicks in your life. Really, favor of God just kicks in your life because you are, pleased by the Father. You're under the, you're being influenced by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Say, I'm anointed this morning. Come on. Amen, church. I want to end my sermon with this. That's a term that, Pilate used. It's called G-U-M-P-S, gumps. Right, it's a term that used for flying. Okay, and what happens is in the aviation, right? This acronym is used for a memory. They must memorize this to perform a checklist before they land. Why? Because they do. They want to expel any distraction. They want to make sure the consistency of the plane. The accuracy of the landing. They need to have this in their mind. So they use this acronym. It's called GUMPS, and G stands for gas. They have to make sure the gas level are good, everything in check. They go like, okay, we're going to pre-land. As a believer, you need to check what's fueling your heart. What is fueling you? What do you feed in the spirit is so important. If you keep, you see, many of us are aware about the devil. That's what we're going to not become. That's what we will our whole life will be a devil expert. Jesus was never a devil expert. He was expert of the Father's heart. He came to show his Father. Never Jesus said, I came to show you who the devil is. Because you are actually in what is feeding you, when the enemy comes, you will know how to react. Because you're so used to what is fueling you. It's like, if you take a lot of money, right? And if you go money changers, sometimes in the olden days, now maybe not, they just use their fingers, They go da-da-da-da, yaka-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And by the time you get the fake one, they know this is a fake one. How? Because they're so used to the real, they can recognize the fake. That's how what happens when you're fueled with the presence of God. God is not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. When you're so, into righteousness, good thinking, love the Lord, all, the seven pillars we introduced, right? When you're just into these things, when the fake comes, you go like, that's not from God. Amen. You live in response to the Father, not reaction to the devil. Come on, who said whoa at the back? I don't know. You live to the response of the Father. Very, 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 very easily you can see in our relationship actually, in the church. When Pastor Rajan comes to the office, Derek's thinking, what are you going to say? Listen, some of you just woke up. When Pastor Rajan comes to the office, right? On Tuesday, we go like, okay, let's wait. What's going to happen? That's first 20, 10, 15 minutes. Either we're going to pray together or he's out in a meeting. What we are doing is we are waiting for the response. We are waiting for the response of a father in the house. Let's respond to what he's saying and doing. Because from there, we can gauge our day, what's going to look like. Likewise, we need to respond. We need to look like what the Father is saying and doing. In our meetings, many times, right? We pray, right? The Father's like, I want you to sing praise. But we are crying. But God is like, no, actually, I want you to enjoy the blessing I'm giving you. Then that moment we miss out, we got disappointed, and we think God didn't answer our prayer. No, you just didn't lean in to what God was saying. Jesus lived a life that all his prayer were answered. There's not even one prayer, right? There's a whole sermon to it. I don't want to get into it. That's, how does he live in a prayer answered. He was always seeing what the Father is saying and doing. Amen. When we do what God wants us to do, when we hear from the Lord, I tell you, you walk in a prayer-answered lifestyle. Amen. 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 I was just telling Derek this. Let me throw this in. Sometimes when God says no to you, it's not the ultimate. Actually, it's not really what God is saying no to you. You know, because of your relationship with the Lord, God can change things for you. God really can, because you are a friend. You're a friend. Jesus' mother came and said, "It's on." Yeah, let's get the keyboardist. Who's playing keys? Jesus' mother, you know, turning water into wine. You know, they came to Jesus and said, "Can you change, mother? Can you ask Jesus to change water into wine?" And Jesus said, "Don't you know it's not my Father's will? It's not my hour yet. And for us, it's not our. That's it. Until I finish, let's go." But here the mother said, "Nah, but do what he says." Right? What do I say? You know what happened? Then Jesus go like, "All right, mom, you all right? I see the faith. Undistracted faith. Even though it was not the hour, Jesus still provided wine." I don't know whom I'm preaching this morning. You might feel like you have missed out. You might feel like your season is over. You might feel like, God, you know, it's not fulfilled. Let me tell you, Jesus can turn water into wine. Somebody say, water into wine. Come on, say, water into wine. Undistracted life is always pulling. One of our friends, actually, Pastor, this is a real story. Young girl, 18 years old, she has such a faith, devotion to the Lord. See, ministry is not about just what we do. It's just a devotion to the Lord, right? So she's so devoted to the Lord. Young girl, 18 years old. These are the things the Lord is doing in the world, you know. And she came to me. She came and said, "This girl has a kidney problem," right? So you know what she did? She said, no. She came in. She said, "Oh, there's enough kidney in heaven." I know it sounds strange, okay? Please hear me out. Don't do this, okay? Unless the Lord asks you. "There's enough kidney in heaven." She took like this. She did a prophetic act. Prophetic declaration. She did like that. And then put like this. Didn't pray direct. She just put like this. And suddenly she felt anointed. She fell down. And she went and checked. A brand new kidney was given. Ooh. You see, the presence of God is a realm that we know. This is a dynamics. This healing. All you have to do is the presence will flow. Amen. Undistracted life. And I want to end with this. Guess. G for guess. M for mixture. What is mixture? You know, it's the engine running properly, because the landing need both the engine to be in the same, you know, same alignment. Is your heart aligned with God's heart? Okay, your heart aligned with God's heart. G-U-M-P-S, right? G stands for guess. U stand for undercarriage. It means wheels are down before you land. You know, your wheels needs to go down before you land. You know, it's not about how you start, how you end. You know, having a wisdom of the Lord. M is mixture. Engine is running. Your alignment with God. Be still and know God is, you know, God. Don't be in a rush. Don't let your engine. Some of us, we even make coffee itself very stressful already. Faster love. Why? You are not aligning with God. You know, align with God. You know, and then, you know, P stands for propeller. What is propeller? Propeller is like getting the right position. You know, when the land, before it lands, so all the time, you know, it will be like this. The propeller will be like this. But when before the land, they need to bring the propeller out. Why? Alignment of the kingdom. Is your life is aligned with the kingdom of God? You know, it's a life, you know, a life that aligned with the kingdom of God will be full led by the Holy Spirit. It will be a power of God. Amen? And finally, the seat belt. All right, putting on the seatbelt, you know, the safety of the presence of God. It's in the principle of God over your life. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. We already took communion. I'm just going to hand this service up. But I just want to take a moment, you know, before they sing a chorus. Let our life be undistracted. What is distracting? Is money distracting you? Is offense distracting you? Is fear distracting you? Today, that's an invitation from the Father's heart. Don't be too hard on yourself. Just fall into His arms. Don't strive. Say, "Lord, I need You, God. Lord, I can be foolish, Lord. I know, Lord, but I'm still Your son and a daughter, Lord. And I want to have full devotion unto You, Lord." How many of you struggle to worship? Your mind is clogged up. And Pastor, I don't know. Sometimes I wake up, I feel this. You know, everything, if you cannot think about the Lord for more than 10, you know, for more than 2 minutes, right, your heart is distracted. If you cannot close your eyes and just adore the Lord, that means your heart is distracted. No shaming anybody, every eye is closed. This is not a shame. This is not a guilt. I'm not beating you up. It is an invitation for the Father's heart for repentance this morning. Whether it's sin or whatever. God wants you to come into perfect alignment of His heart. Come on, some of you are waiting for the, you know, for financial breakthrough. Financial breakthrough is not the ultimate, my friend. The heart of God is. The kingdom lifestyle is the ultimate perfect will of God for you. If you feel distracted, you will know, and you know, when I'm preaching this message, the Lord spoke to you. You know there need to be alignment. I want you to put your hand up. Thank you for those hands. Yeah, thank you for those hands. Come on, put your hand up, really up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And wherever you're at, just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Take away everything, God. Everything that's fighting for your attention. It's not worth it, church. What is fighting for your affection is not worth it. It can even be a minister, it's not worth it. He is the ultimate. He is the ultimate purpose. To know Him, had to make Him known. To know Him, to know Christ. To gain Christ is the ultimatum. And from that place, everything flow. You know, let God, you know, just come before the Lord. Can you repent before the Lord, church? Come on. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, Lord. Come on, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Come on. Take a moment and give your disappointment to the Lord. Take a moment and give your offense to the Lord. Take a moment and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. As you are sorry before the Lord, He's reaching out to you, church. He's focused on you. God is focused on your well-being. God is focused on your growth. God is focused on your family. God is focused on your healing. He is focused on you. Focus on Him. Come on, in this full atmosphere of the oil of the Lord, let's just worship the Lord. Come on, sing it out.
And I stand. I stand in awe.
Come on.
I stand.
There's anointing in the house of the Lord for a great alignment of our heart to the heart of God. Come on, receive it.
Of you.
Come on, sing. I stand. Oh Lord. Come to the
and
throne
I
of grace.
Stand
boldly. That you may obtain grace and mercy. The loving hand of the Father. Worship the Lord, every hand lifted up. Come on. Fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. Fill this place, Lord.
I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you.
Come on, just make it a place of repentance before the Lord.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Everyone's, come on.
I give you my soul.
Come on, your greatest breakthrough is
I
waiting
live
for you.
For you alone. Every breath that I take.
Every eyes closed. Why don't you put your hand on your heart before Pastor Rajan comes and blesses before we go. Put your hand on your heart and say this prayer with me. Lord.
Lord.
Come on, say Lord. Lord. You know, it's not about the longest prayer you pray, but the prayer of faith. Say Lord.
Lord.
Help me to be focus on you, Lord.
Help me refocus on you, Lord.
Give me an undistracted heart.
Give me an undistracted heart.
Distract me with your glory.
Distract me with your glory.
Distract me with the work of the ministry, Lord.
Distract me with the work.
Let my heart be yours completely. And I pray for my mind, Lord. Let the blood of Jesus cover my mind. Let every thought of mine be a heavenly thoughts, that I may release the kingdom of God. And Lord, make Jesus famous. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Pastor, why don't you pray?
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart one final time.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every hand's lifted up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As we lay down all our distraction, help us to be attracted to you. Fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. As your hands are lifted up, as we come to the tail end of the service, say this together with me. I declare.
I declare.
The blood of Jesus,
the blood of Jesus
is my covering.
Is my covering.
I declare the word of God,
the word of God
is my position.
Is my position.
I declare the name of Jesus,
the name of Jesus
is my authority.
Is my authority.
I declare the faithfulness of God,
the faithfulness of God
over my life.
Is my victory.
I declare the Holy Spirit is
my renewing strength.
I declare the grace of God
is
my sufficiency. I declare the mercies of God
is
my forgiveness.
I declare
the hope in God is
my future.
I declare
the attitude
of gratitude
is
my attitude.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I pray for everyone who has come this morning. Minister to them as they get ministered. Let them go and minister to their families too. Bless them. This coming week will be a week of breakthrough, dear Father. A week of miracle mindset, grace mindset, breakthrough mindset, dear Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Now, just one announcement. Those who are visiting us, there's hospitality corner upstairs. Please go and get to know our people. Number two, those want to be prayed for, this altar is open. Please come to the front. We want to pray for you. Huh? Okay, sorry. Well, you distract me, huh? We talk about distraction, okay? Okay, those who have not signed up for family day, sign up at the back. God bless you. May the Lord be with you. And goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.